USMCA is a piece of legislation that has been approved by Mexico and Canada. The United States waiting to get it approved as well. It's NAFTA 2.0, if you will. The president says that NAFTA may have been the worst trade agreement ever put together, ever executed. And he says it's time to change that. We were told that Donald Trump would have no possible way to get that to happen. And yet it has happened. Well, except the Democrats have done nothing with it. And let me read you this, because I want to read you a statement from our next guest, from their position. Jeff Ferry is a chief economist with the Coalition for a Prosperous America. For more than a quarter century, every major action the U.S. government has taken on trade policy has been accompanied by economic forecasts for the impact on the U.S. economy. And in every case, that forecast has been wrong. Flat out. Jeff Ferry here, Research Director at the Coalition for a Prosperous America. Jeff, welcome to the conversation.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So every single one of them has been wrong. That's pretty incredible track record.
Yeah, you'd almost think you couldn't do that if you try. That you know what they say, a stop clock is right twice a day, but these forecasts have never been right.
So when you look at these trade agreements, whether it's NAFTA or 100, I mean, America probably has literally thousands of trade agreements, big and small, all over the world, right? How are they wrong so consistently, and what are they wrong about?
Yeah, I think it's an indictment of the economics profession, and I speak as an economist. I mean, what they have done is they have built a system of modeling, of forecasting economic trade agreements with economic models, and those models are so heavily biased to show that trade agreements will work out well for the U.S. economy that they've been wrong every single time. I mean, it's a case of a biased model, and they do not learn from their mistakes, which is perhaps the worst part of it. You know, NAFTA was one of our first, let's say our first major trade agreements. We had some small ones before that. NAFTA happened in 1994 was when it began, and those forecasts in the couple of years before that were so wildly off. You would think that in the 1990s they would improve things, but no. They kept forecasting that a trade agreement is going to boost our exports, it's going to lead to more employment here, it's going to help the economy that we are making an agreement with, and they are in turn going to buy more American products. And what we saw time after time was these other countries did not buy more American products, and in fact, they imported far more into the U.S. than any of these models forecast, and that had very serious consequences for U.S. jobs.
So I want to look at two of the things that were predicted here that stand out to me because of current conversations going out. First, the steel tariffs of 2002, the trade partnership worldwide. The prediction was that the United States would lose 200,000 jobs, and the truth of the matter is, the United States actually gained 53,000 jobs. And then if I go to the steel and aluminum tariffs of 2018, GDP would be reduced by 0.2% per year and a job loss of 400,000. But yet GDP rose by 2.9% and the U.S. added 2.68 million jobs, the strongest full year of job growth since 2015. When we talk about these being wrong, these were exceptionally wrong, and the tariffs currently are night and day wrong. I mean, are the predictions made for political reasons, and therefore they try to scare people away? Because this is so far off, you would get an F in any class.
Yes, I've said that before to economists, that this paper would get an F if it were submitted in my class. And you're absolutely right. There's a political element here. I think that 99% of the economics profession believes in free trade, and they're reaching very hard for models and other defenses of free trade because, frankly, the record is just so appalling. I mean, you know, the non-economists who look at this say, you know, NAFTA cost us a million jobs. You know, when you talk to people in the steel industry, they say the steel tariffs are doing a good job. A lot of our members at the Coalition for a Prosperous America actually purchase steel, and they are paying the higher prices, which are not very much higher, but somewhat higher. But their businesses are doing very, very well. They're happy with the tariffs. They get the message that, hey, China is selling dumped steel at unfair prices, and they're competing with downstream products, you know, machinery, machine tools, things like that, forged steel items, materials, components forged out of steel. They're also competing with Chinese products.
Well, let me ask you something.
In some cases, there are tariffs on those other forms of steel. So they support the tariffs. Their businesses are doing well. They did. They had a very good year in 2018.
Sure.
2019 is looking like a good year as well, further growth. So all the evidence tells you the tariffs actually are working and you know, are helping specifically the industries they're targeting
and yet,
not making much of a difference to other industries.
And yet, when I hear the Democrats on the campaign trail, they're telling anybody that will listen how disastrous the tariffs have been, how it's destroying the U.S. economy, how people are losing their jobs. And I'm like, I don't see that evidence anywhere. So let me ask you this. Are the tariffs continuing to work that Donald Trump has put in place? Do you think that it was the right thing to do? And number two, what about the USMCA? What about replacing NAFTA? Is it a good plan in your estimation, or is it yet to be determined?
Yeah, first of all, I think all the evidence tells us the tariffs are working very well. Like I say, they are stimulating the domestic industries that have been tariffed. They are not turning into inflation. The costs are not getting passed on to consumers. With one or two tiny exceptions, that's the case. So, therefore, the tariffs are working very, very well. We've seen more employment, more investment, more profit, and a better future in industries like steel, aluminum, washing machines, and the dozens of other industries that have been tariffed that come from China. So that's point one. Point two, the USMCA, and Mexico is a more difficult problem because it's more closely integrated with the U.S. economy. And I think the USMCA is a step in the right direction. I think the automobile rules of origin are going to help rebuild our auto industry somewhat. I don't actually think it goes far enough, but I do think it's a step in the right direction. And I think Congress ought to ratify the new USMCA.
Well, and I hope that you're right, because I think it'll make a big difference for people here in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, also in Texas and Arizona and California. Anybody who the border states tend to be impacted much more significantly than the states in the interior of the country. Not to say that they're not impacted, because they are. But we'll see where it goes, because right now the Democrats seem to have no interest whatsoever in moving forward on the USMCA, even though it would help our farmers tremendously with agricultural exports, among other things. So I'll give you the last word here, Jeff. Where do we go from here? What do you expect to happen?
Well, you know, the one thing I would add to what you said, or slightly disagree with you, is that although the Democrats in general are moaning and complaining, we've seen movement with Elizabeth Warren talking about economic patriotism, and even Joe Biden saying if we have a Green New Deal, solar and wind products must be manufactured in this country because U.S. jobs matter and we can't get those goods from China. Now, we've got to hold them to that if they ever get into office. But we are seeing movement. We're seeing more and more politicians in Washington saying economic nationalism and economic patriotism matter. So I think that's a healthy thing in the United States.
I agree with that.
I'm in favor of that.
All right. Jeff Ferry, Research Director at the Coalition for a Prosperous America, and responsible for building CPA's resources. Great, great conversation here today. Jeff, we'll keep you on speed dial for future ones.
Great. Thanks for having me, Steve. Take care. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. It's 41 after on a Monday. It's the Steve Gerber Show.
We're here with Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital. Dr. McCursey, Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. What's offered there?
We have a full array of imaging services at the health center. We have MRI, CT, 3D digital mammography, ultrasound, digital x-ray, and bone density.
What are the advantages for the patients who go there?
Our patients love the convenient location. They also love the easy in-and-out parking. And they also love the ability to schedule examinations after hours, both on the evenings and the weekends.
How can people learn more about Sparrow's radiology services?
To learn more, they can go to sparrow.org/radiology-services.
That's sparrow.org/radiology-services. We've been speaking to Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital, about how Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. Choose wisely. Choose Sparrow.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our communities secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life and in every corner of America, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. The Army National Guard reacts to domestic operations in each of America's 54 states and territories, including Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and the District of Columbia. Each state National Guard's unique domestic role is to act as the first line of defense in support of civil authorities in their state. The Guard's emergency responses include search and rescue missions for floods, combating wildfires, hurricane and tornado recovery, and the presidential inauguration. The Army National Guard. We are always ready. We are always there. And in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.